Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Dr. Donna Marks with us has been a licensed psychotherapist and addictions counselor in Palm Beach, Florida for more than 30 years. And in 1989, Dr. Marks developed a chemical dependency training program at Palm Beach Community College, which has now grown into a 4-year degree and received the Florida Governor's Council Award. She also teaches a course in miracles, along with sharing her methods with hundreds of thousands of listeners on podcasts and radio shows. Donna, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
We're going to have a great night tonight. And tell me, how do we do a program on teaching A Course in Miracles and also work on addictions? How'd you tie those two together?
Well, they're very related. A Course in Miracles was developed through a psychological system. There was a woman who was a psychiatrist at Columbia University, and she felt that there must be a better way of doing things. And she was actually agnostic, was not miracle-minded at all, but just the fact that she had that thought, she started to have dreams, and she began to channel a voice that told her to take notes. And she resisted it for a long time. She thought she was losing her mind. She spoke, her name was Dr. Helen Schuckman, and she spoke with her colleague, Dr. William Thetford, and he said, "You're not crazy, take notes." So out of that came A Course in Miracles, which is very much psychoanalytical in nature. I'm also a psychoanalyst. And it tells us that everything that's happening to us and our reactions to life are because of our past. And it helps us to realize that we are choosing from fear most of the time instead of love. And how that ties in with addictions is that we stay connected to our addictions because we are substituting those addictions for love. And we are afraid to let go of those things that we may suffer. We may feel the underlying cause of the addiction, which needs to be felt and dealt with. So when we choose love, we choose to embrace our humanity, embrace our pain, embrace whatever's going on, and substitute all that fear, often labeled as anxiety, with love.
Is an addiction, Donna, and I want to get into miracles in a second here with you, but is an addiction something where people are just so obsessed with, whether it's eating disorders, alcohol disorders, gambling disorders? Is that what an addiction is, drugs?
It's when we use something to feel better, and in my opinion, it's a substitute for love. We get that feeling, and we go for that feeling instead of feeling good about ourselves by doing something that makes us actually feel good about ourselves. So addiction is what I believe. There's only one, and it's that invisible hole inside of us, and we're trying to fill that emptiness. And so I say the reason that treatment hasn't worked and a lot of other methods is because someone will go to treatment for alcoholism and then they'll start smoking pot, or they'll quit smoking and they'll start eating,
mm-hmm.
or they stop cocaine and they start gambling, or they start sex addiction. I mean, it just moves around like a merry-go-round.
They replace one with another, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
How do you know somebody is addicted?
Well, an addiction means that you've lost control, and if you're trying to control a behavior, you're already addicted. But the key here is that you're having negative consequences. You have a decreased self-esteem. The addiction drains you. It drains you of your self-esteem, of your finances, of your relationships, of your energy, most important. As human beings, and I believe we are all spiritual beings, it drains us of that energy and disconnects us from our source, either our spiritual source or our source with other human beings. And it gets us in the box, in the maze, I call it. And the more addicted we become, the further into the maze we go and the harder it is to get out, or so it seems. It really isn't hard to get out once you have that miracle of changing your perception about the whole thing.
We'll come back in a moment and talk more about addictions. Your book is called Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. But this Course in Miracles fascinates me. Do you tap into things that are spiritual and religious, or is it something else?
Well, Course in Miracles is definitely not religious, and it makes a point of telling you that it's not religious. And personally, you know, religion is a problem, and it can be an addiction also. Learning how to stay connected to our source and to stay connected to love and the divine is certainly spiritual but not religious.
Well, that's probably absolutely true. What about prayer? What is it? Does that come into effect?
Well, the Course in Miracles doesn't talk that much about prayer, but does have 365 lessons, one for each day of the year, so that we can meditate on the concepts that the Course teaches us, which is how to get out of our ego, and that's where addiction resides. The ego is always searching and never finding, but the ego is also based on all of our past experiences, so we're trying to hide from that pain and cover it up with addiction. Of course, it's driven by fear, and it's the home of anger and guilt, where many human beings stay stuck in either feeling angry or guilty. Underneath all that is a lot of fear. Fear of not being lovable really is the bottom line. The Course teaches us through these daily meditations and a textbook to transfer over into the place of who we really are, which is spiritual. We have a Holy Spirit. It is a still, quiet, loving voice, and we train ourselves to access that voice instead of the raucous of the ego.
Donna, give us your definition of what a miracle is.
Well, it's the same as the Course. It's a change in perception. Rather than seeing something as a terrible, horrible thing, seeing it as an opportunity to find deeper love.
I like that. That's impressive. This is your first time on the program. Where have you been?
I don't know. I've been right here in the same place my whole career.
How many books do you have out?
Actually, right now, I have three. The first one was called Learn, Grow, Forgive, A Path to Spiritual Success. And then I wrote Exit the Maze, which is released this week. Actually, it was released 2 days ago. It sold out on Amazon right away, so we're very excited about that. And then I have a third book coming out in April called The Healing Moment, Seven Paths to Turn Messes into Miracles.
I like that. Well, let's make sure you come back on the program when that book comes out, okay?
Sure, thank you.
I've always believed that miracles have a lot to do with ability of intent and belief. Is that somewhat positive and real?
Absolutely. If you intend to connect to love and your Holy Spirit, and you believe that you can, then you will, but there's an element there of faith because, you know, when we're addicted-minded, we want it right now. Okay, I believe. Where's the miracle? Where's the money? Where's the lover? Where's my house? Where's my job?
Give me, right?
Exactly, and that's all ego. As we evolve and we get more and more connected to who we truly are, we know that all good things will come in time. we know that we will manifest because we are embracing a vision and a dream and our purpose of why we're here. And everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a mission. And we get lost in the addiction maze. So once we connect to that purpose and mission, we become alive and we become at one with, so to speak. And I don't mean this in an ethereal way. I mean it in a literal way. Our lives change.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, like any good thing, you know, you have a beautiful garden, but you don't put the seed in the soil and overnight expect it to pop up. The same thing with our own evolution. We have the faith and we know that as long as we take care of who we are and nurture that true aspect of ourselves and learn how to source from love instead of ego, we will manifest joy and peace and all the other things. And we don't worry about it anymore. We just know it will happen.
Where does positive thinking come into the mix?
Well, I think positive thinking is very important. There's been so many fabulous speakers about that over the last century. And it's the same thing. It's sourcing the part of your mind that is divine and creative. And you still have to develop that spiritual muscle, though, of faith.
Who creates the miracle? Do we do it individually, or is it that source out there?
Well, the miracle is the change in perception, so it's a collaborative effort. I have to be willing to see something differently. And so I learn how to say, Holy Spirit, help me to see this differently. And once I do that, I get awarenesses that I did not have before. So in other words, take the simple, stupid, you know, is a glass of water half full or half empty?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just looking and dwelling on, oh, no, I don't have enough of whatever, I want this, that's one state of consciousness. But when I look at the glass and say, isn't that wonderful, I have half full, and I know that it will continue to fill up if I'm living in the right consciousness, that is the miracle.
I would always talk to people, Donna, and say, is it partly cloudy out or is it partly sunny?
Exactly.
And I'm very interested in their responses because that tells me volumes about them.
And not only that, you can take that a step further. If it's totally cloudy out, isn't that wonderful? It means that the planet's doing what it's supposed to do. There could be rain, which I may not want it, but those poor little plants out there need it.
Sure.
And so, you know, this is a divine, wonderful, creative process. And when we are grateful for the clouds as well as the sunshine, we are really at a place of spiritual enlightenment. And then we source this joy so that no matter whether our day is cloudy or sunny, inside or outside, we are feeling connected and grateful.
The people who take the course in miracles, why did they take it?
Well, most people are already searching like I was. I was newly sober when I heard about it. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and I said, I really would like to find some type of spirituality course or a church. I'd been all over the place in my life trying to connect with something, and we started talking about Jesus. And I said, you know, religion has gotten so crazy and making people feel guilty and they have to be controlled and they're sinners. Jesus never taught that. He said, love yourself. Love one another, love God. And that was his mission. And so when I said that, she said, oh, you'd probably like A Course in Miracles. I'm like, what is that? And she said, well, I don't really know. I haven't taken it, but I think you would enjoy it because it sounds like what you just said. And it certainly was. I went to a Unity Church and picked up a copy. She told me that's where I could purchase it. And I've been studying it ever since.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as
they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
We're with Dr. Donna Marks. Her new book is called Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. Her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. She also has a full social media campaign going on. She's on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube as well. And we've got those links for you, too, at coasttocoastam.com. So how do people get addicted in the first place, Donna?
Well, usually, not always, but usually so there's some type of trauma that happens in childhood. And it could just be something as mild as feeling upset about your pet dying and getting messages like, you know, get over it, so they don't ever process the sadness and the grief. But more often, it's something more major. One of the things I want to clarify, I never blame parents. I made all the mistakes myself as a parent, and we pass it intergenerationally on and on. So it's not to blame anybody, but we have to look at it and heal it.
Sure.
So sometimes children are abused. There's verbal abuse, there's emotional abuse, there's neglect, there's sexual abuse. I personally experienced all of them as a child. And so that creates a sense of what's wrong with me. And with that lack of spiritual and maternal and paternal sufficient love, that's where that void initially forms. Like, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? How come I'm not lovable? And then there's that emptiness. So when you're around people, you feel different. You feel separated. And then the ego later on in life uses all those early memories to keep it churning, keep it going. And so the minute that somebody like that has that fix, whether it's the sugar fix of, this feels so good, you know, or the alcohol or the drug or the porn or whatever it might be, that feeling is the substitute for love and the spirituality that would be there naturally. It's naturally in every child. When a child's needs are met, they feel happy, they feel good, they feel worthy. But when those needs aren't met or they're subverted through some type of abuse, that child feels deficient. And so there's always that search to feel okay.
Donna, would you say a serial killer is addicted?
Well, in a way. I mean, they have to kill. Yeah, it's a very it's a compulsion, and there's certainly negative consequences. But that person has become so disconnected to their conscience and to their source that it's very hard to turn around. Although some people have helped law enforcement to solve crimes, which is turning it around. But anything that you're doing, despite negative consequences, would definitely be an addiction, and serial killers certainly fall into that category.
Is there, with an addiction, an underlying purpose that they're addicted? I mean, I've always wondered, you know, why somebody can't just stop drinking to excess, have a few drinks, enjoy yourself, but don't, you know, drink 40 drinks of tequila and pass out every night. What determines that one person who has one or two drinks and has some social fun to somebody who goes overboard?
Well, when I was doing my research for my book, millions, hundreds of millions of people just in the U.S. alone have addiction, so they don't realize it. So the notion that, you know, you can just have a few drinks and enjoy yourself, some people can, but they may be addicted to sugar or food or compulsive exercise or something else. So it's a slippery slope, if you will. And what happens is that things are made to get us addicted. They stimulate that frontal lobe in such a way that produces chemicals in the brain. You know, alcohol doesn't need to be 15 proof or 20 proof. You know, it could be a lot less alcohol, and you would still get a mild relaxation. But no, it gets you where you want to go, high. Same thing with a lot of the drugs. Same thing with sugar. It has the same effect as cocaine on the brain. And so that's why it's so refined. Unrefined sugar is not nearly as potent. So we know for sure that cigarettes had chemicals added. Nicotine is already like one of the most addictive drugs on the planet.
Sure.
And then they put other chemicals in it. So things are made through advertising and through the substances in them to get us addicted, or the visual images or the video games. And again, you know, pornography, I think one of my researchers was like 38,000 hits per minute.
Internet.
So we are addicted. We are an addicted society, but it's only because we've lost our direction to what we're really trying to get, is that feeling of being plugged in, feeling good, feeling joy, and we're just sourcing it in ways that don't work.
Are there any addictions that are okay or good for you?
Well, it wouldn't be an addiction. It would be a behavior that's good for you.
Interesting.
Yeah, because the defining factor there is, what are the negative consequences?
How about addictions that may be not as harmful as another addiction? Is that possible, or are they all bad?
Well, in the long term, if we don't intervene on ourselves, they can lead to things. Now, when I quit smoking, I started long-distance bicycling, and then after that, running marathons, and it was extreme. So
I guess, could you be addicted to running marathons?
Well, some people are addicted, and that can be like converted to an addiction to your body, you know, like it has to look a certain way or you're
sure.
Not okay. You know? So, I mean, like I said, it's a merry-go-round and it's never ending.
But if that makes you physically feel better and you're healthier, that's not a bad addiction.
Well, so exercise is very good for you. I do it regularly. And it makes me feel good about myself. It's a self-discipline, and I get endorphins, and I'm healthier for it. I'm not on any kind of medications or anything like that. So that's one thing. But when it's taken to an extreme, and if I don't do it, I'm in a bad mood. I'm yelling at people. I'm upset because I didn't get to do my run today, or my body's breaking down because I'm an extreme exercise. Or I have to take off.
That's not good. That's not good.
That's really where we're abusing ourselves.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.